This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters in Islam, for those of you who have been with us for the last 10 months or so, you'll see that there have been a series of things that we've discussed, not usually interrupted, but sometimes interrupted by special circumstances. So we began by talking about character and the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that he was sent to perfect noble character. And we talked about character being a form of interaction with others. All of that starting with the way that you interact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that that relationship that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, singling him out for your divine love and hope and fear, that nobody else occupies that space in your heart except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in fact is what will govern the rest of the relationships that you have with Allah's creation. We followed that up with a series of khutbas on the heart, actions of the heart, repenting, having good assumptions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gratitude, and other actions of the heart, so that we can begin to pay attention to our hearts, to we give more attention to when those diseases begin to creep into the heart, and monitoring the health of the heart so that when something begins to taint its impurity, that we're able to recognize it and treat it. And so first, we have to be right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. And number two, we need to be able to look at the health of our own hearts. It is only after that that we can get to the subject of today's khutbah and subsequent khutbahs, inshallah ta'ala, and that is the topic of brotherhood in Islam. We can't begin to talk about our relationships with one another, about building a true bond with one another until we're right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and until we're able to monitor ourselves. It's very important that we recognize that. So how do we build meaningful relationships with people whom we would otherwise not have any kind of connection to? This person may not share anything in common with you, not background, not ethnicity or race, not socioeconomic status or anything like that. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us brothers and sisters in Islam. Even despite all of those differences, despite the fact that prior to Islam, we could have been enemies. We could have been from different territories. We could have been racist and just hated one another because. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this deen and the ability to love one another for his sake. And you will never taste the sweetness of faith, because faith has a delight to it. It's something that you enjoy, but you will never taste it until you love somebody for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مِنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةً إِيمَانٍ, that there are three qualities that if a person possesses them, will taste the sweetness of faith. إِنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. The first is that Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to you than anything else. That means that you're not going to put anything over this deen. That your love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is because of your love of Allah, that takes precedence over everything. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْءُ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that he loves a person, he only loves him for the sake of Allah. That's it. There's no business ties. There's no family ties. There's no we from the same neighborhood. No. You love them for Allah and Allah alone. You see that they have qualities that perhaps you don't even possess. You see that when you come to the masjid, they're always there before you. They're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're begging the Lord. You know that this person is kind. You deem him to be sincere. You know that this sister takes time out of her schedule to cultivate the children of other people and to teach the Muslims. These are qualities that should cause you to love someone for Allah, not for anything else. And until you get to that level, you never taste the sweetness of faith. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَنْ يَقْرَهَا أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَضَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْكَ مَا يَقْرَهُ أَنْ يُخْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ, and that he hates to go back to disbelief and kufr. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved him and given him salvation, the same way that he would hate to be thrown into the fire, because ultimately that would be the result. And so here we understand that in Islam, we are supposed to love one another for Allah, and we're supposed to build those bonds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ بِجَلَالِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the Day of Judgment, where are those who love each other for my majesty? In other words, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where are those people who will love? أَلْيَوْمَ ذِلُّهُمْ فِي ذِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلِّي. On this day, I will give them my shade, on the day when there is no shade other than my own. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this hadith al-Qudsi, is informing us about the importance of loving each other for one another's, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And here, we see this concept of brotherhood in Islam, sisterhood in Islam. What does that mean, in Islam? Because of Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a lot of emphasis on this. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that the believers are nothing but brothers. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so keen to establish the brotherhood between the believers, between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah to Medina, that was one of the first things that he did, was establish the brotherhood. Now somebody, well, what does that mean? He paired up somebody from the Muhajirin. Those were the people from Mecca. He paired them up with one of the Ansar, the people of Medina. He paired them up and he made them brothers to the point that, to the extent that, if one of them was to die, he would inherit the other. Yani the one that was left behind would inherit the other. That was their brotherhood. That was the extent of it. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us how important it really is that we support one another, that we are there for one another. Now, and this is the, you know, when we look at our own situation, you look at our own situation, for those who accepted Islam, a lot of people were attracted to Islam before they even knew about the creed of Islam, before they really understood La ilaha illallah, before, oh, this is the deen that makes sense. Before all of that, they saw the brotherhood amongst the Muslims. They saw people come together that otherwise there would have been no way to bring them together. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, Lo anfaqta ma fil ard, ma alafta bayna qulubihim. If you were to spend everything that was in the earth, O Messenger of Allah, you couldn't have brought their hearts together. It's nothing you could have done. Walakin Allah alafa baynahum. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has brought them together. And so it was seeing that brotherhood that attracted people to Islam. And then they learned more about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and embraced Islam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And when understanding that, we also look now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless us with this brotherhood. People of this masjid, of other masjids in the city, there's nothing that brings us together other than Islam. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to allow us to experience it to the point that you may go and travel throughout the land. You go to a totally different city. You don't know anybody. You see a Muslim, you give each other salam. Look at one of the most famous Muslims of this country, Malcolm X, Allah yarhamu. Look at the brotherhood that he experienced on Hajj. What he saw between the believers and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming from all over the places. He talked about Muslims with blind hair and blue eyes. And that was something that led him to really understand, okay, Islam is something a little bit deeper than the nationalism that I've been learning in the United States of America. And so we look at that and we begin to understand the value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on brotherhood. You go, for example, sometimes you may be in an airport and you just see a sister from a distance because of the hijab. And to comfort her, to let her know that there are other Muslims around. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just because, as the Prophet ﷺ said, you will not enter Jannah Hatta tu'minu. You won't enter Jannah until you do what? Till you believe. Till you have iman. Walan tu'minu hatta tahabu. And you will not believe until you love one another. Wallahi, there's no entering Jannah until we love one another. Listen to this chain of events that the Prophet ﷺ was giving us. So you're not going to enter Jannah until you have iman. And you're not going to have iman until there's mutual love between you. Should I not direct you to something that if you do it, you will love one another? Afshu salam abaynakum. Just spread the salams amongst each other. Spread the salams. Like the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, give salams to those who you know and those who you don't know. The point is to create those means of establishing true brotherhood and true sisterhood as a result of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our embracing of this faith. So, just as there are things that promote brotherhood, and inshallah we'll be able to deal with those in the future, there are also things that destroy brotherhood. And we have to be aware of both of them. And we have to be aware of those things that promote brotherhood so that we can continue to encourage them and do them and make them a part of how we live. But we also need to be aware of the things that destroy brotherhood, because a lot of times they're subtle and they creep in and they cause friction between the believers. And we have to be aware of that, especially in this society, because wallahi, brothers and sisters in Islam, sometimes it's like we live, I don't know, like we don't need any enemies because of all the self-inflicted wounds we have. Because of the fact that we are doing things to one another to destroy our own brotherhood, to destroy the deen from within. And so we have to be aware, because the only way to progress and to continue to create the programs and to continue to create the institutions that serve the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His worship alone, the only way to do that and to prevent shooting ourselves in the foot is to know what it is that promotes brotherhood and what it is that destroys brotherhood. And one of the most comprehensive hadith that deals with this subject is a hadith that we're going to be covering for the next several khutbas bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And that is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I really want you to hone in, pay attention to this hadith, because again, it is one of the greatest hadith in Islam to deal with the subject of brotherhood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tahasadu وَلَا تَنَاجَشُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not envy one another. Do not تَنَاجَشُوا, which means to artificially raise the prices in a bid, right? So you want something. There's an auction and you want something and somebody else is just raising the price because they don't want you to get it for cheap. And what does that do? That creates problems between the believers. وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. And don't hate one another. And don't turn your backs on one another. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْءِ بَعْضٍ. And don't undercut one another in sales. In other words, if you see a Muslim selling something to someone, don't go to that person and say, how much did they give it to you for? Nah, I got it for cheaper over here. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, do not do that. The Prophet ﷺ goes on to say, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. And be, O servants of Allah, as brothers. Be brothers. You know, brothers sometimes go through things. But eventually, in general, with families, they try to reconcile. They try to make things right. Because they realize at the end of the day that they're brothers. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually, you know, points to this in the Quran when He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are nothing but brothers. And then He says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So make things right. Reconcile between your brothers. Because sometimes things are going to go wrong. But remind them that they are brothers. and make things right. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying this hadith, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, and be, O servants of Allah, be brothers. الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ. The Muslim, a Muslim, is the brother of another Muslim. لَا يَظْلِمُهُ وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ وَلَا يَحْتِرُهُ. The Prophet ﷺ went on to say, he doesn't wrong him, he doesn't forsake him. Now, these are not words we use all the time. But what that means is he doesn't leave him out to dry. If he's supposed to be counting on him, he doesn't leave him out there. لَا يَخْذُلُهُ وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ. And he doesn't belittle him or hold him in contempt. التَّقْوَى هَا هُنَا. And the Prophet ﷺ pointed at his chest and he said it three times. التَّقْوَى هَا هُنَا. التَّقْوَى هَا هُنَا. That fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa, piety, God consciousness is here. It starts in the heart. It's going to manifest itself on the limbs, but this is where it resides. بِحَسَبْ إِمْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْ أَنْ يَحْتِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It is enough to be considered evil that a Muslim belittles another Muslim, that he holds him in contempt, that he looks down on him. That a Muslim looks down on another Muslim. And then the Prophet ﷺ ended this hadith, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامٌ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِبْهُ. The entirety of a Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. That's sacred. That's beyond the bounds. His blood, his wealth, and his honor. And his honor. And his honor. It's not permissible to transgress against another Muslim. Not his life, not his wealth, and not his honor. We're going to deal with some of this hadith in the second part of the khutbah, bi-idhnillah. أَقُولُ قُولِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa aliyu salihin, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu ba'athahu Allahu rahmatan lil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik wa anna ma'ana nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. The first part of the hadith, we're not even going to have enough time today to deal with it, but we're going to start. And that is one of the most important part of the hadith, and that is when the Prophet ﷺ said, "La tahasadu," do not envy one another. Wallahi, envy destroys our communities. And what does it mean to envy? And this is also important to note that a lot of us naturally, we realize what right and wrong is. We know how to define words. But at the same time, this hadith in and of itself is a clear indication to any Muslim who has a sound heart that you have to know something about your deen, that you have to seek some kind of knowledge. At least come to the khutbah on time so that you can hear what's being said from the beginning. If this is the only Islamic instruction you're getting during the week, you think 20 minutes is enough for you to learn your deen? It's enough for us to just sit around and say that I'm a Muslim and be ignorant for the rest of my life? And nobody's saying that you have to be a full-time student of knowledge. No, nobody's saying that. That wasn't the case with the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, not some of them, yes, some of them dedicated their entire lives to knowledge, but the majority of them did not. They were out there, they were working, just like you work, they did what they did, but they prioritized learning their deen. They prioritized the hereafter over their dunya. And so this idea of brotherhood is not a theoretical, abstract concept that doesn't have any practical application to it. So you have to know what it is that you should be doing to fulfill the rights of your brothers in Islam. And you have to know what you have to avoid so that you don't infringe upon the rights of the believers. And so our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says here, لَا تَحَسَدُ. Do not have hasad. And that's something that almost every Muslim, one of the first surahs that you learn is قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ وَمِنْ And so you seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of the hasid, the envious person, when they are displaying their envy. So what does it mean to be envious? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that hasid is karahatu ma an'ama Allahu bihi ala al-ghayr. It is to despise the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to someone else. I want us to really let that soak in. Envy. What is envy? It's not that you like what somebody else has or you want to be like somebody else. If that's something that's a good quality, that is called ghibta. And that's something that's perfectly permissible in Islam. So for example, you see someone, mashallah, they recite the Quran beautifully. And you want to be able to recite the Quran beautifully. And so you might say something in a facetious way. You say, I'm jealous of the way you recite the Quran. You don't mean that you're jealous that you don't want that person to be able to recite the Quran beautifully. It means that you wish that you also had that quality. And so you strive. Because it's a quality that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you may find somebody who is always the one spending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you wish that you had the opportunity to spend like they have. Maybe you don't have the wealth that they have. Or maybe they just beat you every time. You go out to lunch, you go out to dinner, and they pretended like they were going to the bathroom. They paid the bill. And you wish that you had that opportunity because that's something good. That's something good. That's not hasad. That is not envy. Envy is that you wish that somebody else didn't have what they have. And that is dangerous, and it hurts us as a community. Because the bottom line, and it's part of the definition, but a lot of us don't pay attention to it. The bottom line is that you are questioning Allah's wisdom. It is as if you're saying to Allah, oh Allah, why did you give so-and-so such and such, and you didn't give it to me? And as Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, that this happens most often between people who share something of a kind. In other words, you in general will not find a doctor envying an athlete, or an athlete envying a businessman, or a businessman envying a scholar, but you'll find a scholar who envies another scholar, a student of knowledge who envies another student of knowledge, an imam who envies another imam, a doctor who envies another doctor. This is how we find it, even between races. And I'm just going to be straight, because we need to realize this disease that's in our own hearts. If you are African American and you see a Palestinian brother ride up in a Mercedes Benz brand new, you probably don't feel anything about it. But if it's another brother, you got an issue with that. Because how can he be like me and have what I don't have? This is hasad, and it destroys the community. It shaves off the deen. Not shaves off hair, like the Prophet ﷺ said. He al-halika. It shaves. Not like the same way a person can have hair up 2 feet high. You bring that razor, it's going to shave it all off. This is what hasad does to your deen. Because at the end of the day, you're fighting Allah. Who is it that blessed this person with whatever they had? Who is it that made her look better than you? Who is it that gave them the ability to have more people at their weddings, to the point that people envy one another at funerals, because this person had more at his janazah than another person? As Muslims, we've allowed ourselves to stoop that low, to have that kind of envy that destroys our community. And so the reality of envy is this, and it's built upon this: comparison. In other words, you are looking at what Allah has given to someone else and then you're comparing it to what you have. And that may be material, or it may be non-material. It may be a talent. It may be intellectual ability. It may be some athletic talent that a person has, or whatever it may be. Their wealth, their status, their knowledge, whatever it is, you're looking at someone else, and then you're comparing and you're hating the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that. And that is why hasad results in discontentment, it results in ingratitude, because a person doesn't appreciate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And that's why our Prophet alayhi salatu was saying, we cannot get away from that subject of shukr. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Let tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum." Don't look to those who are above you. You start comparing. "Unzuru ila man huwa asfalu minkum." Look to those who are below you, who are ajdar. "And la tazduru ni'matallahi alaykum." Because it's more likely that you won't belittle the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You have talent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you something. If you spend the majority of your time looking at what everybody else has, how do you develop your own talents? How do you become a better person? And this is why the one who is hasid, as the scholars say, the one who is hasid, the envious person, is always mahmoom. Yani he's living in a state of anxiety, in a state of worry. You know why? Because he hates the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given others. But Allah azza wa jalla's blessings don't stop. They're consistent. And so this person's eye is always on somebody else. It's always breeding that discontent in his heart, and he'll never be happy. Inshallah ta'ala, in future khutbahs, we'll deal with hasad in more detail, and we'll deal with this hadith, because we have to do better at being brothers to one another, at being sisters to one another, at developing our own character so that we are better Muslims.